This is Marietta Allen. Welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. And happy holiday, Merry Christmas. We have a special show for you today. I have with me Mary McTammany. A lot of people know her. She's pretty famous. She's a Newburgh City historian, and she's a board member of the Newburgh Historical Society. We're going to be talking about architecture in Newburgh, and especially the they have an open house tour. Boy, Newburgh is quite an area as far as architecture goes.
Newburgh is just a gem. Newburgh, I think, has some of the most diverse, some of the strongest, physically strongest standing architecture in America. And I always attribute that to the fact that the first architectural design collective was kind of begun here in the 1840s, 50s. Andrew J. Downing was the man who started to write about a new style that would break away from the old classical architecture. He was innovative enough to attract a lot of young craftsmen to join him, and I think the skill of those early builders, masons, carpenters, whatever, is what has made Newburgh's architecture so special, that it's, when you look up, you see such unique kinds of window lintels, and you see porch railings and details and little special things, and they're still there.
Yeah.
They're still there because they were so well-crafted to begin with.
And he lived in Newburgh. I think
he
was a Newburgh resident.
He did.
If you go up to Troy, you see all the intricate scroll work, metal work, and then you come to Newburgh and you see all the different types of architecture and all.
Yeah.
I have a relative in Italy who's an architect, and he came to visit other relatives of mine in the United States, and he brought those tripod cameras, you know. So So my father is driving him through Newburgh, and he kept saying, "Stop the car, stop the car." He had to keep jumping out and taking pictures.
I know. I have people say that to me. They make an appointment to come and see me to research something.
Wow.
And they come down Grand Street, find a parking place, get out, and the first thing they want to say is, "Wow,
yeah,
I just saw the most amazing houses or churches," or,
yeah,
you know, they just are spectacular. They're each different.
Yes.
And that's what's so, you know, we don't have architectural districts like most cities where you can see everything is 1870 and it's all pretty much the same design.
Yeah.
They each had something unique, and it was that breakaway moment from the old classical revival. Everything looked like a Greek temple. Everything was square and cube-like. And Downing said, you know, nature is giving us a hint here.
Yeah.
We're supposed to commune with God and nature through every part of our day, including where we live and how we spend our time. And so we should have curves to our porches. We should have decoration that remind us of the plants and the trees and things around us.
Aesthetics.
We should choose colors and things that match the sky, you know. Everything should kind of blend with nature. And he was a great nature lover, loved, you know, he came from a family of nurserymen who grew plants.
Oh, really?
And so that's where he got his start. His father and his older brother ran a nursery here in the city, and they propagated and sold fruit and decorative plants.
Wow, I didn't
and
know
so
that.
I think the natural world kind of inspired him.
Yeah, well, you can go to Dover Books, and actually there's plans, books of plans of these beautiful little small houses. Beautiful. I mean, just, and
nice
you could see
thing,
the aesthetics, you know.
Yeah.
The
nice thing about the Downing movement, and that it's called the picturesque or the romantic movement, is that it embraced everybody. That it used to be that if you wanted a fine house, you were a pretty fine fellow with a lot of money, and everybody else just had simple home-built cottages. And he began to design for the middle class. He kind of opened the door for the middle class, that a workman should have an attractive cottage with a shady veranda, as they were called. Instead of porch, they said veranda. And a, you know, an arbor or a bench in their yard, a place to rest from the day's work.
Yeah.
And so that's what you see. Our buildings here have all these nice little features.
Now, the Newburgh Historic Society, how does that fit in with all?
Well, now for a quarter century or more, the Newburgh Historical Society has tried to showcase what's beautiful about Newburgh and its built environment, as we call it, you know, the structures in Newburgh, by having an annual tour, an open house tour. It's always the second Sunday of December. It's just called the Newburgh Candlelight Tour because it kind of goes from afternoon into early evening. It's always from noon until 5 p.m. And each year, about 10 homeowners volunteer to open their houses, and that's their gift to the society. So the tour is both a wonderful marketing event for Newburgh. It's also the major fundraiser for the Historical Society. It's $25 a piece to go on tour in advance, $30 at the door. And the homeowners will decorate their homes for the holidays. They'll often, you know, have hot cider or cookies, or they give a lot of time, and that's their, you know, contribution to a charity that they spend days and days getting their houses ready for visitors.
What's the, do you have a range of architecture? Or?
Absolutely. This year, there's actually a century of architecture, which is nice. The earliest house is 1830, and the latest house is 1930. So there is a real range of architecture, and they're all special. There's 10 houses on the tour this year, different neighborhoods, but they're clustered. We try always to choose them so that there might be three or four houses where you park here, then drive a little bit and get out, and there might be two or three houses here so that you, you know, don't have to walk the whole city. It's self-guided. Although when you come and get your ticket is a tour booklet that's illustrated and highly described. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice souvenir kind of booklet with photographs of each house, descriptions, both the history of the house, who first had it or what it was known for, and then some decorative things about it, even if inside the homeowner might have special collections or things that you're going to want to watch for. They'll guide you as you get in. You know, the homeowners and their friends are often there to describe. But the booklet also takes you from place to place, has driving directions from place to place, and you can hang on to it as a souvenir because it's going to be kind of a memory book of everything you've seen.
Yeah, that changes year to year then, the different
every
houses
year,
each year?
Now for over 25 years, every year we, you know, knock on doors and make phone calls and get sometimes 8, 10, 12, this year it's 10, people to say, yes, we'll do it.
Wow.
And
a lot of
then
work.
You wander the city and you really do get a feel for it. The people that you visit, for however long you walk through their house, wouldn't say yes to this tour if they weren't enthusiastic about Newburgh. So you also are free to ask them, you know, how long have you lived here? What do you think of the city?
Yeah.
You know, what do you like? What do you do here? Many of the homes have beautiful river views because they're down on the, you know, on the first two or three blocks of the city up from the river. The Historical Society headquarters is the Captain David Crawford House. That's the earliest house on the tour. That was built right in 1830, and it looks right down on the Hudson River. It's, you know, three blocks up from the river.
Most beautiful property probably in the city as far as
It's beautiful property. Yeah. It's an amazing building, and blessedly it has never, it's changed hands four or five times through the years, but it has never been broken up into apartments or had its pieces taken away.
Oh, great.
So when you walk in, you're seeing all the original woodwork, all the original trim, you know, all the original layout, the big old pocket doors, etched doors, etched glass. And the nice thing about Crawford House is that the members of the Historical Society, and there's a nice volunteer squad every year, Marietta, who like to do this. They say, oh, it's Christmas time. It's time for us to get into the flower arranging again.
Oh, isn't
they,
that nice?
They decorate all three floors, every room, with fresh greens, fresh flowers, fresh fruit, in the style that a 19th century family would have done for a party.
Yeah.
And so the rooms smell wonderful, you know. It's all fresh. And you're walking through as if you were visiting the Crawford family. David Fanny, his wife, and two daughters were big entertainers. They loved to entertain in Newburgh. So
I heard they were the best parties in the Hudson Valley.
Absolutely. You know, the old histories of Newburgh will mention that, you know, of an evening you would see the candles gleaming in the big windows of the Crawford House.
Yep.
And they would have poetry readings and dramatic, you know, that's what you did in the 19th century. No TV. You got together and you read aloud from Shakespeare, or the daughters played the piano and everyone sang. So you're going to have that feel as you go in and say, yeah, I can almost see the Crawfords nodding and welcoming me.
Yeah. Oh, you know, don't you want to say that? I went to a Christmas party. Downey Park had it over there maybe 20 years ago. And my husband and I walked in that door, and there was a man and a woman dressed in, I thought they were period costumes. So I said to him, oh, wow, period costume. And he looked at me like I was nuts. And you know, it turns out maybe a year later, I was doing a video for Museum Village, and it had to do with, you know, before Halloween. And
yeah,
the guy at the newspaper, I guess it was Time Warner, said, hey, I got to show you something. I'm working on this special show. And he gives me this folder, and I'm flipping through it, and I get to the Crawford houses in there as being a haunted house. And he has a picture of the guy, and it was the guy that I saw when I was at the party. So I went back to my office. I said to my husband, do you remember we went to that party for Downey Park? And he says, yeah. And I said, you remember I said about period costume? He says, yeah, I don't know what you were talking about. I said, did you see the two people standing right next to the stairwell? And he said, no. He says, I thought you were nuts. So I saw, and you know what? The next year we went there for another party, and on the, there's like a mantelpiece, and there was a picture of David Crawford, and he had, like, you know, they had the velvet kind of collar.
Yeah, yeah.
That was what he was wearing, and the wife had,
well,
like this lacy bodice.
You're not the only person to make that report.
Really?
There are 8 fireplaces in the house, by the way, and they'll all be, you know, the mantles will all be decorated and things.
Uh-huh.
But finding a Crawford sort of standing
really
off to the side is not,
isn't,
you're not
so?
The only person to report that. I had somebody tell me that, like you,
yeah,
they came to an event, you know, 15 years ago or so, and came up the front porch.
Okay.
And there was a man out on the porch who smiled and nodded at
That's
them.
What they, yes, smile and nod.
And smiled and nodded, and they went in and said to the members of the society,
yeah,
oh, what a lovely touch to have the man outside in costume as the welcomer. And they said, what man? And when everybody went out, there was no man.
Oh, that was him.
I'll tell you, I've volunteered in there for 30 years,
uh-huh,
off and on. I'm a librarian by trade. That was my career for 36 years. And for all the years I was director of the library up at Mount St. Mary College, I used to give my Mondays because I had Mondays off. And I would go down and work in the archives on Monday and by myself most,
yep,
of the time. And I would hear or sense, never threatening, you know,
yep.
And you,
somebody
I just,
was there.
When I was opening the door in the morning, I'd unlock the back and I'd say, good morning, Captain Crawford.
Did
and
you?
Then I'd just go about my business. And I just sometimes had this sense that, you know, I was being shepherded along and it was,
yeah,
fine. So
it was right inside that back door, and
yeah,
there's a stairwell going down. It was right,
yes,
at the top of that stairwell.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's and I went, and the next year I went and I kind of stood there. You could feel a cold spot there. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So there, and I know there was somebody, I don't know if it was from the Historical Society, it might have been Regina Angelo. She said upstairs.
She was on the board for years.
Yeah, they were rearranging stuff in the attic, and then somebody went and moved it all back again or something. It was moved again.
Well, I've never heard of the whole, you know, it doesn't take the tone of things, you know, what
being
is it called, levitated and flying across the room. It's,
yeah,
never scary.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of a warm sense that somebody's still around. I know they loved the house. He built it for his lovely Fanny,
uh-huh,
who was Fanny Belknap. That's a really early Orange County family.
Okay.
And it's also a history lesson just to step in and go, ooh, pretty,
yeah,
nice.
Beautiful property.
Because this is what a simple guy could accomplish in 15 years when he was a really, you know, go-getter of an entrepreneur. Here's a man who came back from the War of 1812 and said, I was working in the Quartermaster Corps down in New York Harbor, and I helped to move a lot of goods for the war, and I can see that there's a need to move an awful lot of freight. New York City needs what the Hudson Valley has. Let me buy one used sloop. and start to take goods from the farms up here to the city.
Wow, that's how he did it, huh?
And then, woo, this is really a popular route. A lot of farmers, let me buy a second sloop. Let me buy a steam barge when they first were invented, you know?
Wow.
Let me, and within 15 years of coming home from the war, he was able to build what was the grandest home in the city.
Isn't that something?
So it's a kind of a story of how fast the Mid-Hudson and especially Newburgh Bay grew in that time between the War of 1812 and the Civil War, and how much commerce was centered here. It's really interesting. And you say he could buy, think of the craftsmen who did. I mean, there's a cantilevered, what's called like a flying staircase.
Yep.
And you look at it and say, how does it curve up like that without a center support?
Yeah.
The men who built those, you know, like those apprentices of Downing, you say, man, they were good.
Yeah, we had some really talented people in this area. The Jewel of the Hudson? What'd they call it?
They've called it many things, but they've called it the Jewel of the Hudson. It and Poughkeepsie were each, in their turn, called the Queen City of the Hudson.
Okay.
Newburgh was often called the City of Spires. Or the City of Flags. I've seen both of those nicknames in accounts of it, because when you came, the river was the road. You know, the Hudson was the route. In the 19th century, until the railroad got here in the 1880s, you arrived by boat.
Okay.
And so you first encountered Newburgh from out on the water, and it was so many beautiful churches, several of which are gone now. But downtown churches all had these tall, beautiful spires, and you just saw, you know, these beautiful points up toward the, you know, the sunshine and the clouds as you approached. And we also put flags at all of the intersections of the first rise of town, as well as on our public buildings, on really tall flagpoles.
Ah.
So, you know, there's a big flag at the foot of Broadway, but there was a big flag on South Street right by Horizons on Hudson School. There was a big flag up by the Heights. There was a big flag on Park Place. There, you know, all along, so that as you came in, it was almost a display of these beautiful, big, tall flagpoles.
Oh, isn't that something? Boy.
So
that would be something to bring back. Get people to sponsor the different flags in different parts
of
the city. Oh, man.
There was one man who worked in the old shipyards who used to make the flagpoles. He took that on as a civic duty, and he would get the special scrap lumber that came in, you know, as they were doing shipbuilding, or the ballast wood or something, and he would craft the big flagpoles in like three sections.
Wow. Good stories.
Yeah.
I heard
a
lot of sea captains came up to this area. They retired up here. Is that so?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the thing about Newburgh is when you get through the Hudson Highlands, it's like a gate. They call that whole West Point corridor there the Gate of the Highlands because of Storm King and Breakneck and the big mountains that almost look like gates. But it's a weather gate, so the storms kind of stop in that channel down by West Point, and they don't break through and keep, you know, churning up the water up here.
Wow.
This is a real lovely, safe harbor. So when you come through the Highlands and you pop out above Storm King, suddenly the waters are calmer.
Yep.
The air is calmer, and the air is much cleaner. Now, I don't attest to that anymore, but in the 19th century, lots of people came north here for their health, because imagine old New York City, where you were in close quarters. Everything was coal and wood burning, so you had lots of smoke in your house. People living that tight together would, you know, often have TB. And so you came to the valley at least for, you know, a month's rest. So this area was dotted with tourist homes, rooming houses for those that wanted to kind of rest, relax, clear their lungs, clear their mind.
Very nice. Well, I tell you, that's it's something where people come and just kind of drive around and look at everything. But with this historic house tour, I mean, if somebody comes every year, you're really getting exposed, and you're seeing
inside. Oh, yeah, you're seeing something different every year.
Every year.
And you really meet some lovely people who, some of them have been here forever, and some of them for generations, you know, and some of them are newcomers who are just really proud of what they've done to spruce up their house.
So we got about 5 minutes. They would come to Crawford House anytime between 12 and 5, and
between
that's where they register?
Between 12 and 5, but the earlier the better, because you like to linger. If you come at 5, you're hardly going to see anything but Crawford House.
And then you just
the tour takes about 3 hours.
Okay.
But you may dawdle, you may stop for a cup of tea somewhere. But yes, you walk in to Crawford House, which is 189 Montgomery. That's for people's GPS, 189 Montgomery Street, and that's the corner of Montgomery and Clinton. And you come there, park anywhere on the street, and just walk up the driveway path. And there'll be lots of people inside to greet you. And you can also go to the website, which is Newburgh Historical Society, all three words together. So just Newburgh with the H's, you know, Newburghhistorical Society.com. And there's a link right there. You see it coming, you know, this month, the candlelight tour. You click on that. And you can use PayPal or your credit card, whatever you want, to pay in advance. And your tickets will be ready. So when you get there that day, there'll be somebody at the door directing you to left or right. Right means you've got a ticket waiting for you and you walk straight ahead. Left means you haven't paid yet and you go see me.
Okay.
Because I'm generally the gal who handles the credit card machine to the left.
Okay, that's great. Now, is there an order that you should see these properties or can you go pick and
choose? Well, the booklet will give you a suggested route, but you need not follow it.
Okay.
So the booklet is very helpful. It has a map, a fold-out map, and it has, as I say, a photo of each house and a description, a couple of paragraphs about each house, and then at the bottom of each page, because one page per house, it'll say, now exit the house, turn left, go to the next intersection, turn right, look for a house with, and each house has a really decorative, colored bow,
like a landmark,
wreathy bow on front. So you say that's one of the houses, because they all will have the same colors and design for the year.
Yeah.
But it's self-guided, and you start at Crawford House, but if you wanted to take your book and turn to the back page and come in reverse, you're welcome to do that. If there's three houses you don't care about, oh, I hate 1930s houses, you can skip those and start in the middle. But I wouldn't miss anything, because they really are lovely.
Yes.
The
30s
houses are on City Terrace North, which is kind of an undiscovered, beautiful street in Newburgh. It has the original big oak trees that just overarch the whole street. And those are brick one- and two-story houses with very large, nice rooms. One of the houses on the tour on City Terrace North is Gail Fettigan, a local artist. So her studio will be open to, you might, you know, be able to see how she works. And she's a pastel artist and many award winner.
Yeah, nice neighborhood. It's just about a block or two up from the college, from Mount St. Mary's College.
Exactly. It's really only one block up.
Better to just surprise everybody and have them follow through. But then the idea that you're taking your time, you're not having like 15 cars piled up parked outside somebody's place.
Right. I always advise people to, you know, as I say, they're clustered, these houses. So I say, you know, pick one that really looks attractive to you and start with that one, and then do the ones that are in the walking distance from where you parked of that one, and now go back to the beginning or go back to the end and work your way around. That way you know you're going to arrive when the least crowds are in that house. So you don't, you know, if you just go 1, 2, 3, 4 through the book, you're always going to be traveling with a couple of dozen people coming through the door the same time as you, and you won't have as much opportunity to converse with the homeowner and eat a cookie and have some cider. And
more individual attention.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we've run out of time already.
That's okay.
But I hope everybody takes advantage of this opportunity.
Oh, me too.
And it's every year, so you come
it's
every year.
Every year, and it's always the same time. It's always noon to 5. It's always the second Sunday of December.
Okay, and you're always going to start at Crawford House.
And we're always going to start at Crawford House, because that's where you check in, get your tickets, and then off you go.
Okay, well, Mary, thank you so much.
Thank
Maybe we'll get to see you this year. You have a
nice
wonderful
talking
holiday.
To you. You too. Happy holidays,
you too.
Everybody.
Yep. Bye-bye. Well, that's a wrap. I hope you take advantage of this historic house tour. It's a good thing. Bye-bye.